And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, episode, I'll figure it out.
Wait, shouldn't there be like a record scratch there?
What? For October?
Cause...
What? Fuck it. All right, let's just get straight into the show then. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. Oldschoolmovies.net. You heard it right. I don't own the domain yet, but I'm hoping by Sunday I can get it back. All right, so let's just break it down. I made a quick decision.
That's where the record scratch was supposed to be.
Oh, right.
It should be in Welcome Back to Old School.
At the movies. You know. Yeah, anyways, whatever.
Exactly.
We can't afford effects on the show. Too bad. We're cheap. So we've been doing
have an extra week of post-production.
Exactly. No, this is a show where everybody else does the work. You know that.
There's a big difference between we are and I, because you're the cheap guy.
Yeah,
not we.
Okay. BYO everything. Yeah, I'm the cheap guy. Yeah, just saying. Hey,
Jobless 2 years, 2.5 years.
Yeah, and you have H. Walker internet. Okay, let's get into.
I thought you were going to say I had AIDS, because I heard, and you have AIDS, H. Walker internet.
No, you don't have AIDS. So okay. Here's my thought process. We've been doing TTN at the movies for a couple months now, and I've been subconsciously saying Old School at the movies for the entire time. You know, originally I thought, okay, let's do a collaborative effort. Everybody kind of does their own shows, but it's essentially only me and Fourthrow that are doing it. We're not really getting that collaboration that I was looking for, and I've missed putting that name back on it, and we have so much archival audio greatness that I think it's about time that I actually bring back Old School at the Movies. We're also going to keep that TTN at the Movies for everybody else who wants to do a movies podcast, because I'm not going to say, oh, nobody else can do movie podcasts anymore. And maybe that motivates other people to do it. Or maybe it's just going to be Fourthrow at the Movies. I don't know. But I hope more people do it. But that'll be kind of an extension, a sister show of this. But I think it's about time that we bring back the greatness that is the Old School at the Movies. I've got the website up anyway, so... It just, to me, it makes sense. And whatever reason, that shift didn't work. So we're constantly trying to get better, improve, and do something different. And by doing something different, we're going to go back to what we did. But I've got the motivation to do this movie podcast again. We're doing that year end in December like we did last year live. And we're going to be hopefully recording pretty much every week. So, and I'm looking forward to it. All right, let's get to our panelists this week. We've got a couple of fan favorites, our usual suspects. Kill a Carpe Diem.
Wait, hold on. Did you say Fran favorites?
Nope.
Are you sure? Twitter cast.
We'll play it back. We've got a couple of fan favorites. I'm pretty sure I didn't say that.
On the Twitter cast? Is it on the Twitter cast?
It's always on the Twitter cast with Johnny Diamonds. Our Iron Man, Headmaster, English. Mister.
Head.
There's a need for a rescue mission.
Head.
When the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's ass to kick.
So I know what pussy to grab.
I'm not going to get into that Alabama thing. All right, we've also got Killer Carpe Diem.
Dude, where's my car? Where's your car, dude?
My car is outside my house.
Never gets old.
Are you sure about that car?
My car's, it better be. My car's destroyed. I'm gonna give Andy all your personal information.
How is it my fault though?
Because you made me leave my car outside.
Yeah,
my house.
Just like you made it rain during that Alouettes game. Exactly.
I think we're close to the 2 year anniversary to when my car got stolen. And literally in the back of my head, I went, "Where's your car?
Where's your car, dude?" It's amazing. Okay, Rotten Tomatoes, Justice League. Let's start with that. So I'm hearing, is this true, Carp, that Warner Brothers has banned Rotten Tomatoes from releasing a rating until the end of the weekend?
That's the rumor. Not the end of the weekend. Warner Brothers has sent a letter to Rotten Tomatoes saying, do not release the tomato meter until Thursday after midnight when the showings have begun.
Now, do they have any power over Rotten Tomatoes? Like, who owns that site?
That's a good question.
Because if I was Rotten Tomatoes, wouldn't you just say, fuck you? Like, who are you to tell me when to release it?
It's owned by the company called Flixster Incorporated.
Oh, yeah.
Flixster is a movie site for discovering new movies, learning about movies, and meeting with others with similar tastes. Founded in 2007 in San Francisco, California. Parent company, Fandango. So that's a movie.
Which makes sense because I have app. I have a Flixster app that is powered by Fandango and has Rotten Tomatoes scores on it.
So Fandango Media, Warner Brothers owns 30% of the company.
Ah, there we go.
NBC Universal owns the other 70.
Interesting. So it's like, can we even trust these fucking ratings? You know what I mean? Because they could be like, bump the rating a little bit. Like, how do we know when they own fucking part of Rotten Tomatoes? That rubs me the wrong way so much now. Because I've always trusted Rotten Tomatoes for ratings, you know, just like Wikipedia's and for whatever articles, you know, obviously you can't take it 100%, but just that knowing that they own 30%, doesn't that make you fucking question every fucking rating now?
So from VOX.com. Rotten Tomatoes has delayed the release of its Justice League score, raising eyebrows. Justice League reviews started coming out early Wednesday morning. The studio imposed an embargo, which was lifted at 2:50 a.m. Eastern on the 15th. But anyone who's wondering whether the film was deemed fresh or rotten by Rotten Tomatoes will have to wait another day for the site to reveal its rating. And that's raising some eyebrows. A couple of weeks ago, on October 31st, Rotten Tomatoes announced the launch of a weekly show called Rotten Tomatoes, See It or Skip It. Let's see. Broadcast on Facebook via social media, site's watch platform. One of the show's regular features, Tomato Meter score reveal. And this week's reveal is Justice League. So maybe it's because the show's coming out too.
Yeah, but
the movie Unites comes out. So the episode airs at 12:01 a.m. on Thursday, which is 1 minute after they start showing the midnight screenings. Seems fishy to me.
Yeah, it just comes off as just fucking big media. We've seen this with video game reviews too. Like the companies are kind of either throwing them fucking bribes or like threatening them or they own part of it. That's what the internet is supposed to be, is transparency, openness, and something that's not related to these studios. But now that I know that they own 30%.
Okay. It sparked some speculation that the studio is trying to stave off a potential bad score as long as possible. Yeah. The film will have its first public screenings only hours after the score is finally revealed. It's worth noting that Warner Brothers, the studio behind Justice League, also holds a minority stake in Fandango, which in turn owns Rotten Tomato.
But also, like, that could backfire too, right? Because if the internet perceives that you're trying to hide a bad rating, then isn't that worse than having a bad rating?
You would think so. I mean, but they did allow Batman vs. Superman to get a whole 27, which is, you know, rotten.
But now maybe they're seeing, oh, fuck, that was a bad thing. Let's try to control it. If you were Warner, how would you deal with it?
If I were Warner, I would have given up after the epic flop that was Batman vs. Superman.
No, but I mean, listen, you can't go back in time.
I would drop to my knees and just start sucking off Marvel Studio. Just all Marvel Studio, just start sucking it. Go like, hey, Disney, want to buy DC? Because Warner Brother fucked us.
Heavy set. Do you suck dick? No. Do you release the thing, try not to control it, or do what they're doing? Do you think this is going to make any positive difference? Like, people will go see it because they don't see the tomato score?
I don't think anything that the DC Cinematic Universe has been able to do has been something positive. I mean, granted, I think Wonder Woman was highly rated, but other than that, just shit.
Yeah, but Wonder Woman was just feminist empowering bullshit.
Oh, shut the fuck and- I even like the Superman. I thought it was good.
Wonder Woman felt like, to me, just a woman being Captain America, which I love Captain America, but the fact is I've seen them, and that's Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Okay, while we fix Heavyset's Skype issues, what else in the news is interesting? Carpe diem.
Hollywood's full of sex monsters, as we already mentioned. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to know why Get Out is under comedy for Golden Globes consideration. I find that very weird, because it is kind of a thriller horror style movie. That's what's on
Oh, that's did you guys see the teaser trailer for Deadpool 2?
I did not.
Oh, fuck. It's amazing, man. They do... who's that painter guy?
Bob Ross.
Yeah, they did a Bob Ross parody with fucking Deadpool. Hold on. I'm putting it up. I'm getting it up. Hold on. It's fucking amazing.
Hello there. Welcome back. I'm glad you could join me today. Let's just dive right in and run all the colors across the screen that you'll need to paint along with me. I have my regular old canvas here, wet and ready to go. Now, let's grab our trusty 2-inch brush here. Whack that off real good. Just beat it like it owes you money. We're going to get a little dab of our yellow snow here. We're going to mix that with just another little dab of our Betty White. Now, let's just dance in a happy little sky. Now remember, this is your world. You get to make and break the rules here.
Sweet baby Jesus.
Wish I could jump in there and roll around in all that cascading white powder. Yeah, just get high in all of life's splendor. God, I love cocaine so much. Holy fuck knuckles, I am high as a kite right now. Okay, let's paint in a few little happy trees there. Nothing wrong with making friends with trees. Now, what you don't want to do is eat these paints. Trust me on this one. All right, I'm going to whack off again. That's right. That feels good. Would you look at that? It seems like we have ourselves a finished painting.
So from our family to yours, keep your pants dry, your dreams wet, and remember, hugs, not drugs.
That's fucking amazing.
Did you read the IMDb summary of the Deadpool sequel?
No.
So, after surviving a near-fatal bovine attack, a disfigured cafeteria chef, Wade Wilson, struggles to fulfill his dream of becoming Mayberry's hottest bartender while also learning to cope with his lost sense of taste. Searching to regain his spice for life, as well as a flux capacitor, Wade must battle ninjas, the Yakuza, and a pack of sexually aggressive canines as he journeys around the world to discover the importance of family, friendship, and flavor, finding a new taste for adventure, and earning the coveted coffee mug title of World's Best Lover.
These guys, I hampered on this on the first one, and I'm going to do it again. They understand their audience, and their marketing skill, just these little internet fucking cookie crumbs that they're throwing at the fans, is going to make this a huge success again. I do not understand how these Marvel types do not do more of this shit, because it's fucking genius. It is absolute gold. I love it. Go check out the actual teaser trailer on YouTube. Just search Deadpool 2. You'll find it. Anything else you want to talk about before we get into our review for this week?
Hollywood Sex Monsters.
Okay, let's get into the review for this week. Thor Ragnarok. Here we go. I'm going to be checking this out on Friday, so please, no spoilers. Try to dance around any plot points, twists, etc. Heavyset, let's start with you.
Well, when Thor kills Loki, for real this time.
I hate you so much.
He's in the Infinity War trailer. Calm down.
Spoiler alert on the trailer.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
You guys haven't seen the leaked trailer from San Diego Comic-Con?
Well, I have, but somebody else who hosts a movie podcast probably hasn't.
Spoiler alert.
Well, old school, I'll just tell you, dread it, run from it, destiny still arrives. Anyway, Thor was probably one of the best Marvel movies that they've made. It's up there with the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. I've heard a lot of other people say better. I'm just going to say it's at least in the same realm, and they finally made a really good Thor movie, and they had to go out and grab some other characters, but it was a fun ride. It's been like a little bit while since I've seen it now, like 2 weeks, but like I said, thoroughly enjoyed it. I think I rated it like a four. So it's good, about four. I mean, about 8 or 9 out of 10. What else you got on a cart?
Best Thor movie to date, for sure. I mean, I felt like they were given an outline of what to do, and it was kind of like, here, ad-lib some stuff and have some fun. And if you had not known Chris Hemsworth to be that funny, except for his SNL stuff, you would have never known that he could actually pull off comedy that well. He does a great job. From the world of comic books, it's Planet Hulk, and it's another Thor, modern Thor storyline and some other things. It was really well done. I'm looking forward to the next Thor if they do another one. Digging the Valkyrie character. Jeff Goldblum kills it as the Grandmaster, who, if you're a comic book fan, is Jeff Goldblum's character is the brother of Benicio del Toro's character in Guardians of the Galaxy. So if that comes to be like it does in the comics, yay, because that created all sorts of awesomeness. You know, slowly bringing it all together to make Infinity War, make Justice League look like the steaming pile that Justice League is probably going to be compared to Infinity War.
They're going to make Justice League look like The Room.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
But the one with Brie Larson, right?
No, they're going to make it look like The Room. I did not. Hi, Mark.
I did not hit Darkseid. I did not. It's bullshit. It's Darkseid. He's evil. Oh, hi, Superman.
You guys aren't even giving Justice League a chance. It hasn't even been released.
Look, so it's coming out Friday. Oot. My expectations are real low, so I'm going to go see it.
Yeah, I'm planning on seeing it this weekend, too. I don't have a lot of hope for it. And I think it's just how the DC cinematic universe has been. And I didn't think Batman versus Superman was that bad. And Suicide Squad.
Emmy award winning Suicide Squad.
It's in the award winning Suicide Squad. I think one of the biggest problems with the DC cinematic universe, comparing it to the Marvel cinematic universe, besides anything I've stated before, is some of these movies feel different. Like Suicide Squad didn't feel like it was connected to Batman versus Superman and the Superman movie and Wonder Woman. It felt like Batman and Robin and Batman Forever compared to the Dark Knight. But yeah, you could technically do the Dark Knight, but compared to Batman Begins, goddamn it, Returns and Batman, just that total. Yeah, these are connected, but I don't know. They just feel different.
Okay. Are we closing the Thor?
What was your out of the carp giver rating?
Oh, it's a 9 out of 10 for me.
Wow.
I loved awesome. It. I absolutely loved it. And it was a great cinema experience because people actually respected the cinema chain of command. So
you didn't have to hit anybody with a taser this week?
No, but I'm still tempted to get one.
There's two after credit scenes, and I think what kind of sucked about them is comparing it to the last Marvel movie of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. There was a lot. There was like freaking five, and at least half of them meant something. Granted, there's two. One really means something. The other one is, I'm not even really a big spoiler. It's just try to say Jeff Goldblum's character is still alive.
Yeah. So here's my only thing. Bringing a kid to Thor Ragnarok might be a little awkward because there's a lot of sexual stuff in it. But the guy who did it, Taiwa Tahiti, I cannot pronounce his name. New Zealand fella, he did What We Do in the Shadows. It's one of the best Marvel movies directed and written to date.
And he's in the movie.
Yeah, he's evil. So I actually thought he was another New Zealander comic.
I just thought he was Kata.
Yeah.
That's just me.
That's awesome.
It's different because I'd read the Planet Hulk comics, and the character that he portrays, the way I picture him in my head from the comics was completely different. So I like that change.
And I feel like coming out of this movie, and then we only have one more left, I could do a really big show on Infinity War.
I mean, we barely didn't even mention him, but even Carl Urban as Scourge, like perfect character actor. Urban killed it as Bones. He killed it as Dread, and he killed it as Scourge. Cate Blanchett, if you're turned on by chicks with power, she's the perfect woman for you. You know, she embodies death. So,
and you will notice a big scene that was in the trailer does look different from the movie. And I originally thought it's like there's something else that happens later in the movie that is changed, but it's obviously changed because they don't want to spoil it. There's going to be a lot of noise with it. And they were like, let's move it away from there and let's have it here instead.
Car mute, thanks.
Because everything was probably shot in front of a green screen, so I was able to in and out and reshot a couple things, but it was the same shit. So yep. If you watch it and you go, that's not where it was in the trailer, it's because they changed it.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I'm more confident to go see it now. And now I'm like, Justice League. I still want to go see Justice League 2 because I am a DC fanboy.
Why wouldn't you be confident to see Thor? I mean, I felt like they've been building this since before Guardians came out. And when they had Guardian, I was like, ooh, well, the next thing I know, I have Thor, and that looks really awesome, too. I can't wait.
You know,
now what? I'm like, oh, we have Black Panther.
I've never been a fan of most of the Marvel characters. I don't care about Thor. Don't care about Hulk. Don't care about... Well, Spider-Man's pretty much the only one. Like, I'm trying to think. Maybe Cap, Iron Man. Even Cap I find boring. Like, I'm just... I've never been a fan of Marvel. And maybe that's just my DC bitterness or whatever. But Batman, Flash, Superman, the darker Superman now especially.
There's nothing wrong with cheering on the Cleveland Browns.
Exactly.
Of the Marvel comic book universe.
I get it.
Hey.
And that's insulting to the Browns because Batman vs. Superman was so bad.
I mean, Guardians, I'm a huge fan of. So I can't shit on everything. But yeah, to me, it was like, oh, another Thor. Great, you know. But now that you're saying there's it's one of the better Thors. It's entertaining. It's funny. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to go check it out. All right.
And hold on. Actually, as of this recording, which granted, it won't be the same as when it comes out, we are 170 days away from Infinity War, which comes out on May 4th. I think that's funny.
That is awesome.
And we're less than a month away from Star Wars Episode 8.
Which will have the Infinity War trailer, I hope.
And it's also Star Wars Episode 8.
Yeah.
All right. Weekend box office for this week. Break it down. Thor Ragnarok in week 2 grossed $57 million for a total domestic of $212 and a total worldwide gross of $616 on a budget of $180. Daddy's Home 2 debuted with $29 million on a surprisingly high budget of $69 million. With no foreign gross, I'm kind of concerned about the longevity of this movie. I think the cast was just way too, either they required too much money or I don't know what, because I can't imagine too many special effects in this one. It's pretty budget-wise, I think it's cast-heavy. Yeah, it ain't money. I don't think it's making its money back. Murder on the Orient Express debuted with $28 million on a budget of $55 million. This is starring...
way too many people, and it looks like absolute
Johnny
shit.
Depp, Michelle Pfeiffer, Judy Dench, Michael Pena, Penelope Cruz, William Dafoe. Yeah, shit. But it did good foreign, though. It did pretty good foreign.
Ugh, it looks so bad.
Regardless of how it looks, it's pretty much made its money back. So studio-wise, I don't think they're too worried about it. And I don't think we're seeing Murder on the Orient Express 2 either. So not that bad for the studio. Bad Moms Christmas, $11 million in its second week on a $28 million budget. It's grossed $39 million. Jigsaw has grossed $3 million in its third week on a small budget of 10. It's made 34. So good profit for the studio.
And 44 foreign.
Wow. 79 on a 10 budget. Yeah, that it's still got some longevity, that thing. I'll tell you. Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Medea Halloween. $2 million gross. A total domestic of 45 on the $25 million budget. Yeah, not surprised. He's like kind of like Kevin Smith. He's got his niche audience. Movies usually cost between...
and what's that niche audience, old school?
Well, huge fans of Tyler Perry who like Madea, you know.
You're a giant fat man who dresses up as a giant black
maybe
woman.
They're in the cross-dressers. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Am I allowed to say that? No, I don't know. $25 million. He's usually doing those $20 million movies, make around $50, $60. So they make a little profit for the studio. Geostorm, $1.6 million. Total domestic, $31 on a $120 million budget. It's foreign's doing all right, so it's kind of saving a little bit. But yeah, this is going to be a loss for the studio. Speaking of losses for the studio, Blade Runner 2049, $88 million domestic, $248 worldwide on a $150 million budget. That's also probably going to be a loss, maybe break even at the end of the day. Happy Death Day, $1.2 million on a $4.8 million budget. It's got a total domestic of $54. And Lady Bird, $1.1 million for a total of $1.7. Haven't heard of it. Probably some independent release. All right. Movies coming out this weekend. Well, fuck. Justice League. We're not going to play the trailer for it, but have you said it? That was a yay for you, right?
That is correct.
That is correct. Carp is a yay. I am a yay as well. And what's Wonder? What's that? Garbage. Julia Roberts garbage with some kid with a weird face or something. I don't know. Star.
Yeah, I was going to say Star is some animated thing that's going to pull in all the kiddies.
Tracy Morgan, Tyler Perry, Chris Christopherson, Gabriel Iglesias. Oh, okay.
Vin Rames. Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Budget of 20, so not too bad. Yeah, I'm pulling the kiddies there. Yeah, so check out Justice League, I guess. If not, you're going to be like me and check out Thor. But I got a couple of decent movies coming out, little powerful movies there, especially for November. That's pretty cool.
And it's like the last big release as well until Star Wars.
So that could be until the 15th. Yeah, there's garbage until the 15th.
I'm saying it now. Friday, December 1st, another Wolf Cop. It has Kevin Smith in it, so I know Old School is going to see it.
No, because Friday, December 1st, if you also check that list, Carp, I'll be going to see another
Gangsterland.
Movie.
Gangsterland. Slumber.
No.
Tribes of Palos Verdes.
No.
Brotherhood of Blades 2. Inoperable?
No.
Wonder Wheel?
No.
Shape of Water?
No.
Oh.
Dude, the Disaster Artist.
Oh.
It's the movie based on the book, based on the movie The Room. It's going to gross all kinds of cash.
Based on novel Sapphire.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Plugs, final thoughts, Carpe Diem. Oh, actually, do you have a bargain bin?
No, I haven't actually watched anything. Bargain bin wise, I'm starting to watch Rick and Morty season 3 along with Stranger Things season 2.
That's something we haven't talked about, Stranger Things.
No. I haven't watched it yet.
You haven't watched season 1 yet?
No, season 2.
Yeah, I haven't watched season 2 yet.
We're going to talk about it next week, Abby.
Okay, then here's what I want you guys to do on top of it.
Okay.
I want you to grab your phones, go to your app store, download the Stranger Things game.
Hey, go to what store?
Your app store, Play store.
Oh, okay. I heard your F store. I'm like, we don't have F stores. We don't have 7-Elevens. We don't have...
Go to your app
store. We have Probisoires. They don't have Probisoires, dude.
And download the Stranger Things game. It is basically like Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, but with Stranger Things characters.
Awesome.
I beat it at 100%. It's so much fun.
I'll check it out. All right, Plugs, final thoughts. Heaviside, go.
Well, check out Hanging with Heavy, which hopefully releases the day after this. And then since this normally releases on the weekend, and this will already be announced on the show, this Monday, you can go to whatamaneuver.net and buy a Wrestling Cheers t-shirt.
Whatamaneuver.net?
Whatamaneuver.net.
Fucking amazing.
Please help support. Please, I ask you. And then as of right now, you can go to Spotify and download Wrestling Cheers there.
Cool. Do you get any kickback for that? Or
I don't know. Well, I get kickback for the shirts, but I don't think for Spotify.
Okay.
So go buy my shirt.
There you go. Do it. And he'll personally call you and thank you.
Unless your name's Mitchell, and that would be a really long distance phone call.
Yeah. Wow, Skype, dude.
That's true.
Carp, what do you got going on?
Final season of CFL East Picks will be, you'll have probably listened to the Eastern Western final episode that already happened, as well. Myself, if you want to follow me at Killer Carpe Diem on Twitter, or follow my beer ventures with allbeerinside.com at allbeerinside or allbeerinside@gmail.com. Next All Beer Inside should be released within the next 2 weeks, I'm hoping, if I get my ass in gear about doing stuff.
Sweet. So for Killer Carpe Diem, Heaviside, this is Old School saying, thank you very much for listening.
From producer Tim Burton and replacement director Joel Schumacher comes a Batman movie that replaces the 80s gothic look of the first two with the ecstasy-soaked fever dream of the mid-90s. Yep, this is definitely the worst movie I've seen 30 times. Batman Forever. After human cure song Tim Burton made Batman cool for the mainstream, then put too much kinky stuff in the sequel to sell kids' toys, Warner Brothers picked Joel Schumacher as the pariah, director, to push the franchise in a more family-friendly direction.
Holy rusted metal, Batman!
Huh?
But hey, if this is what we had to go through to get Nolan, take it away, Joel.
Can I persuade you to take a sandwich with you, sir?
I'll get drive-thru.
Meet Val Kilmer's unique take on Batman. He's not weird like Keaton, charming like Clooney, intimidating like Bale, swole like Affleck, or emotional like a human. But he does contribute one major unique trait to the Batman legacy. His mouth is always open. I mean, bats do eat bugs. I guess that's one way to catch them. Watch Batman face to face, a man with the power of not being a threat half the time. But there's also the onesie-wearing Riddler, Jim Carrey, at the height of his powers, brings the same manic energy he brings to his other roles.
Joygasm!
Spoken!
While Tommy Lee Jones makes the horrible choice to bring the same manic energy as Jim Carrey.
And me!
Watch these two actors try to one-up each other on camera while the real drama was apparently going down off-screen.
He got up and hugged me and said, I hate you. I really don't like you.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thrill as Batman faces his greatest danger yet. The only thing that could actually stop him for good. A therapist. Dr. Chase Meridian takes her place alongside Vicki Vale as the latest bad girlfriend you'll never hear from again. She's got brains, brawn, and she's not using either of them because all she does is perv out on a stranger in a rubber suit.
You are interesting. Well, I wish I could say that my interest in you was purely professional. Oh. My place. Midnight. I've imagined this moment since I first saw you. Your eyes, your lips, your body.
Experience the Bat Family grow bigger with Chris O'Donnell's Robin, whose lame origin story of the Robin name,
I flew in like a robin,
is still better than The Dark Knight Rises.
You should use your full name, Robin.
Witness a mid-20s actor do his best to play a cool teen, complete with cool motorcycle and leather jacket, giant 90s cool guy earring, and something no one will ever make cool, laundry karate. Holy dry clean only, Batman! This makes me want to drink some bleach! So witness the beginning of the end of the original Bat Quadrilogy that put nipples on the Batsuit, launched Akiva Goldsman's career, and cut out the insane subplot with a giant bat, but survives today by hanging on to its three redeeming qualities: the thumbs up gif, the epic seal song, and the fact that no matter what you have to say, it's not as shitty as Batman and Robin.
Never leave the cave without it.
Starring, hello Reddit, I am actor and artist Val Kilmer, AMA, a chewed up starburst, Jim Carrey's the movie, Dr. Girlfriend, The Adult Wonder, didn't sign up for this, The World's Craziest Laser Tag Arena, The Batman Yeah Guy,
Batman!
The Boiling Acid Guy,
oh no, it's boiling acid,
and what's that girl, Batman fell down a well? Batman Begins to Suck. Did anyone notice Two-Face's lair only works if he's facing one direction? Do they have to rearrange the furniture when he turns around?